You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Monday, March 30th, 2020, and this is the Locked On Jets podcast. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. I hope you are staying safe today. Free agency will continue in the NFL. We will see players agree to terms with teams in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Even into the summer, we will see some players who are free agents, who you may know, agree to contracts with teams, but free agency is clearly slowing down. So with that in mind, I'm going to offer a preliminary ranking on the players the Jets signed this offseason, and I'm going to stick to guys who are currently projected to be starters. So guys like Arthur Mallett are not going to make my list. And, you know, some of those guys may eventually move into starting roles. And, you know, some guys who are currently projected to be starters may end up losing the starting job. But we're going to stick to the major eight signings, or at least what I would term the eight major signings. So I'm going to start at the bottom with number eight. And I would say if I was making these into categories, this would be the category of signings I did not agree with. And there's only one, and that's Alex Lewis. And I don't think Lewis is the worst guard in the NFL. I don't think he's a terrible player. I just think he's more of a backup than he's a starter. If he's a starter, then he has to be like your fourth or your fifth best guy. I don't think he's ever going to be the driving force behind an offensive line that is successful in this league. He'll be the type of guy that you can get away with starting if you have a lot of talent surrounding him. And that's not nothing. That we've seen Jets off. If you've watched the Jets the past decade, you've seen players who were bad enough to destroy the entire offensive line. You go back to 2011, Wayne Hunter at right tackle was so bad that he dragged the entire line down with him. He was such a liability. I don't think Lewis is to that point. I think Lewis is a guy who's a backup, and I think you can maybe get away with him as a starter. He's never going to really be a great run blocker, and I don't even think he's that great of a pass blocker. I think that this is a case where sometimes you see coaching staffs overestimate their own players. Maybe they just like the guy, they like what they bring to the locker room. They overestimate their ability to coach somebody up. And I think that might be what happened with Lewis. That's the one move the Jets have made this offseason that where I look at it and I say, geez, I really don't get that move. I think that they overpaid him. I don't think this is the type of player who should require a multi-million dollar deal to keep. He's coming back on a contract around $6 million. This one that for me is at the bottom, and I presume because of the money they want to give him, he's a starter. And if the Jets get active in the draft, maybe they can knock him to the bench where he'll just be a highly paid backup. And I think that would probably be a better role for him. That's just not the move I don't like. The next category is going to be guys who I'm not sure what to expect from, guys who I'm not really sold on, but guys for whom there's at least some degree of upside. So at number seven, I'm putting Breshad Perriman. And I discussed this on a show last week. I'm not a big Breshad Perriman fan. In fact, I would say that I'm not expecting much from him. That said, I can't say it's a bad signing. I think there are certain players who just have the physical tools and they have at least a small history of production where you say, okay, well, this guy's worth rolling the dice on, even if it does not pan out. You may remember a couple of years ago, the Jets did something like that with Terrell Pryor. When they signed Pryor, I think most of us knew that this was probably not going to be a move that panned out. But for the price the Jets paid for it, you saw the upside there. You said, okay, this is worth a shot. And that's kind of the same way I view Breshad Perriman. Or if you go back all the way to 2012, the Jets signed a receiver from the Raiders, Chaz Schillens, to a cheap one-year deal. And it was very similar where, although I think at the time some people were projecting number one type receiver upside for Chaz Schillens, which I'm not sure was necessarily the case. I don't think that I'm not expecting much out of Perriman. There is a small history of production in December, so it's possible that things are pointing up for him that maybe everything clicked in December and he's going to be a great player going forward. But if you look at the history of the league, players like this who have one small period in their career of production, typically those trends do not last. Typically those players fall back. So just going on history, I'm not expecting a lot. And I still think the Jets need to be aggressive. I would like to see, and as always, it depends on how the draft board falls. The board may not just fall this way. There may be a player who's too good to be true at another position available. But I think it would be good for the Jets if they were able to get two receivers in the early rounds of this draft, because I think this is a position that needs an infusion of talent. And, you know, if Perryman works out, then that's great. But I think you want to give yourself as many chances of it working out as possible. I don't think you want to go into the season with Breshad Perryman as your only option. Now, again, this is a guy with very good physical tools, and he did have he has at least produced for a few games in this league. But, you know, just producing for 1 month doesn't make you a good player. There are plenty of bad players who have put together a couple good games in a row. So I don't love, I don't hate the signing. I have to say that it's not like they gave him a multi-year deal. So it's more just I'm not expecting much. I don't even really have a big issue with the signing. In the same category, at number six, I'm going with George Fant. And I could see, the reason he's ahead of Perryman is I could see him working out. I think that of the two, I would guess Fant probably has a better shot of working out than Perryman, because I do think there are some signs that the needle might be pointing up, so to speak, for Fant. He has gotten better in his career the more he's played, I think. He's got some flexibility. You know, if it doesn't work out at left tackle, maybe it'll pan out at right tackle. But there is some risk here. I mean, the Jets are pretty much, that contract they gave him around, you know, $9 million a year, is it pretty much based entirely on projection? Because I don't think you can look at his career to date and say this guy has earned that type of money. What I think you're hoping is that in the future, he plays at a level that makes that deal a discount. You're essentially making a bet based on upside. And it's a pretty risky move. People said this isn't a risky contract because the Jets can get out of it after 1 year. That's not true. This is a very risky move if Fant is going to be the left tackle for this team in 2020. Now, people hear the word risky and they immediately assume it's bad. Risky is not necessarily bad. Risky is risky. Risks can pay off. And in that, if a risk pays off, then it's a good risk. It could go either way. When I say risk, I'm not saying it's a bad move. Risky does not mean bad. Risky means it could go either way. He has a lot of physical tools that can be worked with. Jets are essentially, I think, hoping that their coaching staff can get something out of him that can unlock those tools. And that's always one of those things that shows you whether or not your organization is actually good. It's one of the things that you look to determine whether you can identify the players who maybe the rest of the league is undervaluing, and can you get more out of them than other teams? That's something we'll find out going forward. Locked On Jets podcast here on a Monday, and we're offering a preliminary review of Jets free agency so far. And the next category I'm going to say are guys who are just credible starters. They're not flashy. They're not game changers. You're not going to get elite production out of them, but you can expect credible play out of them. And at number five, I'm going to go with Pierre Desir, who the Jets just signed last weekend, a corner from the Indianapolis Colts. Now, his career's been kind of a journeyman, and in all honesty, like most of his production in his career was in the year 2018, but they got him. It's a fair deal. It's not a deal. I'd say it's a great value. I'd say it's a fair value. I don't think they overpaid for him. I think that they got him on the type of contract that you would expect the Jets to get a player like Pierre Desir on. And that's saying something, because in the past, the Jets have overpaid for this type of guy. This is the type of player that previous GMs have given multi-years and millions of dollars in guarantees to. And the Jets gave him a pretty modest one-year deal. I think when you looked at what the Jets had at corner, they had to bring somebody in. And I still think the corner position needs some work, because right now you're looking, you've got on the outside, you've got Bless Austin, you have Pierre Desir. Now, maybe that could work out. There are scenarios where that can work out. But again, going back to what I said about Perryman, that I don't want that to be my only option, because there are certainly also scenarios where that could be not so good. Still, I have no issue with the signing. I think they got a guy. They had nobody who could play at corner, and they got a guy who at least can play a little bit. And Greg Williams may have to play more zone this year to protect some of the corners, but Desir at least knows how to play zone. He knows how to play zone. And that's a skill to have. That's definitely a skill to have, because there are some guys out there who cannot play zone. Whenever a team's struggling, or a team's corners are getting beat one-on-one, there's always these calls, play more zone coverage. Well, zone coverage only works if your guy understands how to execute in zone, how to pass a guy off, what to do when there are two guys in his area. And I think this here does that. And I think, you know, part of the reason he was cut by the Colts, you know, part of it was he did not have a great 2019 because he was banged up, but part of it was also they just have some young guys that think could step into a bigger role, so they did not want to pay him in excess in money. So I don't think it was all performance related, the reason he was cut by the Colts, which again is probably a positive sign. At number four, I'm going with Jordan Jenkins. And what can you say about Jenkins? Just a really solid player. He sets the edge well. He's a guy with a, you know, he's the type of guy who can overpower a bad offensive lineman. And that's how he got his 8 sacks this year, and that's how he got 7 the year before. You know, you probably should not expect Jenkins to jump to 12 sacks to 10 sacks. I think, if anything, I may expect a bit of a decrease. He's never going to be the best pass rusher on a great defense, but I think he can be a complimentary player. I think he's the type of guy, he can be a supporting player, maybe like a Calvin Pace type of guy, if you remember the Jets in the early Rex days, where he's a guy who has a spot on a quality defense, even if he's never going to be an all-pro type. He's never going to dominate the game. I'm not sure I can't even think of a game he's ever taken over. He's never going to dominate one game. He's never going to be the sole. You're never going to look back on this the way you may with a Jamal Adams, look back at a game and say, wow, the Jets won the game because of Jordan Jenkins. But you're going to get solid play. And that's something. And again, a relatively inexpensive one-year deal. Tough to complain about this deal. Another position of huge need for the Jets. Another spot where they needed to get somebody, and Jenkins will at least help them hold the fort, and hopefully they can add on top of him. And at number three, I'm going with Greg Van Roten, who the guard the Jets signed from Carolina. And the reason I'm going with him above the other guys is I'm giving a little bit of a tiebreaker because, again, it's the Jets addressing the offensive line. And like a lot of these guys, Van Roten is not, he's not a game changer. The Jets did not sign any players where you say, well, this guy could be a game changer in free agency. And the difference between this approach and the approach of years past is there are players in years past the Jets have signed in free agency who you've said, oh, they could be a game changer. And then the games start and they actually are not. You only had the perception that they were game changers in March. Van Roten, again, I think he should be an upgrade over what the Jets have at guard. I'm not sure whether he's I'm assuming he's replacing Brian Winters, because the deal the Jets gave Alex Lewis suggests he's probably not going to be a backup. I don't think the Jets would give Alex Lewis that kind of money if they were planning on making him the backup, which tells me Van Roten is probably in the mix to take over for Brian Winters. And I do think he should be an upgrade there. He's a guy who tends to be a better pass protector than a run blocker. So the Jets may still have some issues run blocking, but I think right now the name of the game is to try and protect Sam Darnold, to try and give him better protect, because what the Jets did last year with Sam Darnold, that offensive line they put in front of him should never be put in front of a young quarterback. It's a great way, if you want to destroy a young quarterback, put him behind an offensive line like that. So I think Van Roten's a solid signing, and the financial terms came out in the last few days, only around $3 million per year. So no issue with that financially. Just again, a lot of these signings, you just say, are very solid. They're upgrades and positions of need. You know, not necessarily the flashiest players out there, but guys who will do their job effectively and guys who can be good role players if you are able to add some star level talent through the draft. Locked On Jets podcast here on a Monday, reviewing Jets free agency, at least what's happened so far. We can expect a few moves here or there to be added to the ones that have already been made, but the free agents who have been signed are largely the class that we'll see for the Jets in the year 2020. Now we're going to the final category, which are signings that I really think are excellent signings. And I'll start at number two. My second in my rankings is Brian Poole. And Poole was the only capable corner the Jets had throughout the 2019 season, aside from a few flashes from Bless Austin later in the year. But Poole was really the only consistent Jets corner, and a bit of a surprise. I have to admit, and I think I'm not alone in that, I was not expecting Poole to be that good. But he really locked down the slot position, and just did a solid job. And you know, you certainly appreciate it after the years of, after years of watching Buster Skrine really struggle in the slot. Skrine was a guy who would give you a monster game like maybe every 2 months, and then really struggled the rest of the time, and always called for holding penalties. You know, Buster Skrine was always committing penalties. You appreciate Brian Poole after you go through the Buster Skrine experience. And the Jets got Poole for a little bit less than I thought they would. I was expecting Poole's price tag to go into like the $7 million territory. So the fact they got him for less than that, again, a one-year deal, not a major commitment, pretty good job. Pretty good job, a good role player. Not much else you can say. Just, again, a solid signing by the Jets. But number one is going to be Connor McGovern, and it's because of the position he plays. And I'm giving the offensive lineman, whenever I'm like close, I'm giving the offensive lineman a little bit bump in my bump in my categorization, because the offensive line was such a big need, and especially the center position. And if you've been listening to this show for over a year, you know, you remember my anguish last offseason when the Jets just refused to try and address the center position. Because the center position has been so damaging to this offense. Not having a good center the last 3 years, when you review the film, you just can't get over how much bad center play has set this team back. You know, is Connor McGovern going to be Nick Mangold in his prime? Is he going to give the Jets that level of play? No, but he's going to give. He should at least bring stability to the center position, which is something that the Jets have been really lacking. And that doesn't even go beyond just having a good veteran. And Sam Darnold is entering year three, but he's still relatively young. You want a guy at center who's a veteran presence, who can help work as a part, because the center and the quarterback work in tandem to make sure the blocking assignments are correct. They try and read the defense pre-snap. They try and figure out what the defense is doing, and they try and make sure they have the correct blocker on everybody to negate what the defense is attempting to do. I think that this is right now this looks to me to be a good signing. It looks to me like the Jets have done a good job addressing the center position, and the Jets have improved their offensive line. I don't agree with the people who say now the Jets have overhauled their offensive line, now they're all set. The Jets have gotten solid players on their offensive line, but now they need to add the elite level talent in the draft. McGovern, though, is this is the type of guy the Jets should have been looking to sign the last few years. Somebody who can just bring some stability to the center position, even if he's not a household name, just somebody who can play the position effectively, because it's a really important position. And as I always say to anybody who doubts center being a premium position, watch the Jets the last 3 years and then come back to me and tell me center is not a premium position. Well, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy what you hear, subscribe to it on your favorite podcast source and leave it a good review. I hope you have a good Monday, everybody, and we'll chat again tomorrow.